And aloha. Welcome to Talk Story, the longest running talk show on Maui. I am really happy to have in studio Shelley Hendricks. Shelley's a sweetheart. We're friends, and she works at Gilbert and Associates, and she's also married to the fantastic Rock Hendricks, who's one of the great saxophone players, just amazing, amazing musician. And we're going to be talking about a really great event. Now, I love singing. Everyone loves singing here, and we like supporting young singers. And this is for any young singer between the ages of 10 and 18. It's called 10 and 18, right?
Right, yeah.
It's called Sing It Maui. And it's happening June 24th from 2:30 to 5:30 at the Lahaina Cannery Mall. But here's the cool part. Some young singer is going to have the opportunity of a lifetime to get first prize, $1,000. Second prize, $500. Third prize, $200, correct?
Third prize is $300. $300.
And what's second prize?
Oh, second prize is
$500. Third prize, $300.
And then we have the People's Choice Award.
And the People's Choice Award is
we're going to have the crowd vote for their favorite singer, and they get a free recording in a studio with Billboard, number one Billboard recording artist. So
here's the opportunity for really young, talented singers to have a voice, pun intended there. But, you know, the thing is you have to get out there if you're a young singer. And this is especially designed for those people who are young singers who have talent, but maybe just have never gotten out there in front of a crowd before, right?
Right, yeah. We hope that parents will encourage their kids to sign up for this. If they know their kids love to sing, and just to get them to, it's a great opportunity just to, for them to have the experience to get out there and shine. And it's not, you know, to get over any fears they might have. It's just to get them to break out of their shell. Or, yeah, it's a great experience for young kids. We hope we'll get lots signing up.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Well, so far, you know, you have some people who've responded. The thing is, it's extremely easy for anyone who wants to. If they want to be a part of it, it's easy. All they have to really do is a very simple send an email, right?
Right, yeah. We've made it really easy.
Yes. We thought simple is better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So how, I know, no, I mean, maybe not a lot of 10 to 18-year-olds are listening, but we know that the parents are listening, or the friends, or maybe family members, you know, are listening. And what we want to do is encourage them to go out there and tell these young, talented people they know that they really need to get on this, because the deadline to enter by email is coming up, right? June 3rd?
June 3rd, yeah.
So we don't want the deadline to pass, because you have to kind of arrange your time schedule and what's going to be happening as well.
Right.
So how do I just drop Facebook Live.
That's
sorry,
okay.
Sorry, my Facebook Live friends. I feel so bad. I dropped you right on the desk there. Oh, that was
okay.
I could feel the pain.
My
phone was, ouch. That's the first time I ever dropped Facebook Live. So what do they people do if they want to get someone to enter?
They just need to email singitmaui@gmail.com and just give us your contact information. And it'd be great if the kids could tell us why they love to sing. Mm-hmm. And we've had some really awesome stories come in, really heartfelt stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes us so great. So we really hope that people would write in.
What kind of stories are you hearing?
Oh, lots. One that really got me was this young girl used to get bullied. And so singing for her was a way that she got past it and got through it. So that one really touched my heart.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of looking forward to more stories like that. And we all have a story. And singing and music is such a great thing for all of us.
It is a wonderful expression. So, now, I know we have wonderful groups like MAPPA,
mm-hmm.
Seabury, you know, upcountry has a very good music program. There's some schools that do, you know, of course, the Kamehameha schools have excellent programs. We're kind of in that in between phase with graduation and school being let out and this happening. So we know it's going to be a little bit of a in between there going on. But that shouldn't stop anyone from entering and being a part of it. I mean, it's going to be happening on a Saturday, so, you know, it's a good time to happen, 2:30 to 5:30. Now, tell me about, I know Lahaina Cannery Mall, some people know there's been some renovations going on at Lahaina Cannery Mall. So where are you going to set this event up?
We're waiting on the renovation start date. So as far as we know, it's still going to be at center stage. Mm-hmm. No worries, though. There will be a stage regardless, whether we do a tent or, but it will be so far in the mall at center stage, and all just moving forward as planned. So
can they have, is it going to be a cappella, or how are they going to handle that? They have their music background, or how does that get handled?
It would be best, if they want to do a cappella, that's fine. If they play an instrument, an ukulele, guitar, mm-hmm. or if they have a backing track like karaoke, we can do it that way too. Mm-hmm. So whatever.
I tell you, a cappella is hard. I remember seeing some of these people, you know, some of those singing competitions on TV do it, and I'm going, wow. I mean, it is tough when you're getting out there and you got to stay on pitch and everything. And a cappella is really, really. I mean, it's one thing if you have an instrument, you can play that and it kind of goes and it's nice, you know. But the only way to do it if you had an instrument, I imagine, would be, I don't know, maybe you could do a keyboard. I mean, I know it'd be easy if you had
keyboard,
an ukulele.
Yeah.
You could do a keyboard. Okay,
yeah.
So you can do keyboard, ukulele, guitar, something like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could bring it could even be on your phone or someplace, have a music track or something, right?
Yeah, backing track.
A backing track would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that I hope people will get very excited about. And that's why we went Facebook Live on it and we're talking about it. Because there are some entries, you know, but we could certainly use more. And someone, you know, has amazing odds of doing really well at this thing. You know, I don't know, there's like 8 or 9 entries in right now. So, you know, we want to get, we want to double that in the next week here. We'd love to see you get your friends, your relatives, your buddies entered, again, 10 to 18 years old. It covers a pretty wide range of people. And you do not have to be a professional singer.
No, actually, it's for amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that anyone that just, you know, likes to sing and they get out, not that they've recorded or done anything yet.
It's extremely supportive. You're not going to be, no one's going to laugh at you. It's not like that at all. It's not going to be, there's going to be no hard judging going on here.
No, it's all for fun.
Yeah. So it's Sing It, I just knocked my tea over. I'm so glad there was no computer there. I'm doing great here. It's Sing It Maui. And I'm going to show the thing here. Sing It Maui. And teen singing competition, Saturday, June 24th, 2:30 to 5:30. But the thing to remember here is you got to get your entry in by June 3rd. And you email singitmaui@gmail.com, right?
Right.
singitmaui@gmail.com. I'm going to finish up the Facebook Live, but we're going to keep talking here. And the T's over the edge there. So tell me your background a little bit. Give me a little bit of your background. And how'd you land up here on Maui, Shelley?
Oh, long story.
Oh, good. Because we're waiting. We're going to supposedly have George Kamoko and Anthony Fluke come in. But you never know with George. We love Uncle George. Or sometimes George.
Is late.
Yeah, you know George?
No,
okay.
Yet, actually, I haven't met him yet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I thought maybe you knew him. So how did you land up on Maui? What's your background?
Well, when I was a kid, I grew up on a ranch in Canada.
And where in Canada?
Calgary, around Calgary.
Oh, my God, how awesome.
Yeah.
So you were boots and horses and things like that?
Yep, riding.
The Calgary Roundup is famous.
Yeah, the Stampede.
Yes, the Stampede.
Used to do that.
Yeah. You did that?
Yeah. Yeah, so when I was a kid, my dad used to bring us over to Hawaii all the time, and his best friend lived in Hawaii. So it was always a love of mine, and it was always like home. And we'd actually go to the Big Island and ride horses and that's how I grew up.
Well, they had some big ranches there. The Parker Ranch and things, right?
Were you
that Neil Young song, Hello Cowgirl in the Sand?
All right. Yeah, I don't know that one, I'm surprised I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a Neil Young, Hello Cowgirl in the Sand. But, because he's from Canada.
That's right, yeah.
Did you have your own horse?
I did, yes.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what brought me to Hawaii. I always loved it here, and just events brought me back.
And you bounced back and forth a couple times, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Met my husband here. And
Brock was here?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he came over here. Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
I went actually to take a singing lesson, and that's how I met him.
He was teaching singing?
Well, Fulton.
Oh,
Fulton Tshombe. Yeah, we know Fulton. Yes.
Oh, well, hello to Fulton Tshombe. Yeah. I love Fulton Tshombe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fulton worked on my last CD, and he worked on Practicing Aloha CD. He kind of helped arrange the whole thing, too.
Very talented.
I didn't know he taught singing. I took piano lessons from him
for years. Very talented. Good teacher.
He's a good teacher, and he's people may not know this. You should ask him about the singing thing, too, because I'm sure you have, right? Because he was teaching at the schools. For a long time as well. Helping out with that.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's a hardworking musician. I don't know. It's so hard with musicians, right? I mean, they work so hard and they do so much stuff, right?
It never ends. Yeah.
And now Rock is doing work with some of the top musicians on Maui as well.
Right.
He's been doing gigs up at Fleetwood's, hasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Working with... Gretchen Rhodes and Eric Gilliam, Willie Kay.
May 30th, they're going to be doing Ahana Ho with Eric, not with Eric, with Willie, Gretchen, and Mick doing a gig on the 30th of May. But that one's kind of become famous. That kind of is, Gretchen's so great.
she's really just good.
Absolutely mind-boggling amazing, you know. She sang on that Practicing Aloha. Mm. Because, of course, through Fulton. Fulton knew her.
Right.
Through that.
She's really talented.
Oh, very, very talented. Of course, she sings with Mick a lot, and she's toured with Mick as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Rock is doing gigs with...
Benny Uitake at Chemo's.
Oh, yeah. And Benny's one of the really good guys who does a lot for the music scene, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He teaches hundreds of kids how to play ukulele. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kalama School.
Is he at Kalama School?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Talented.
I mean, I think of what the musicians do for this community and the young people and everything. It absolutely blows my mind.
It really does.
It's so fantastic, you know. And we have to be aware that musicians, you know, have to really be encouraged. I think singers and musicians have to be encouraged because more and more, you know, you see it's harder to make a living for musicians. And musicians have to have sometimes two or three jobs, and they don't make near what they should be making, especially here on Maui, right?
Yeah, it's just how things are nowadays, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's still studio guys in the big cities,
mm-hmm.
you know, or L.A. or, you know, New York and places that can do okay if you're a studio guy. But for musicians who want to do their own CDs and albums, it's really, really hard.
It's tough, yeah.
It's really hard to make any money. Mm-hmm. Now, Rock, people may not know it, but he's been top Billboard.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he's been playing with Paul Hardcastle, who's considered one of the best in New Age, right?
Yeah, he does a lot of
jazz and
smooth jazz.
Smooth jazz.
Yeah.
And so Rock connected with him and was able to do, I mean, super number one releases, which is get on Billboard top releases is major, right?
Right, yeah.
Didn't he ever get tempted to do the scene in L.A., or was he just always wanting to stay in Maui?
He did actually live in L.A. for... I think it was 10 years and worked at Motown. So he had...
Oh, Motown had an L.A. office.
Yeah. He did some work there and recording there, as far as I know.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And he's worked with Michael Jackson and Marvin Gaye and lots of big names.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's had quite a career.
But decided to give that all up? To be over here in Maui, because you don't get those kind of opportunities on Maui. Or does he bounce back and forth and think about Touristdale?
I think now, well, Maui's home, and we love, you know, once you come to Maui, it's always home.
And he does some recording here too, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that makes a difference because you can record the way it is now. Is you can record in your own studio, and you can send tracks off to anywhere in the world, right?
That's how he and Paul, they, you know, it's interesting. They rarely talked. Everything was all email, and it's amazing what you can do now. And they made Billboard hits, you know. Just, it was almost better when they didn't talk, and their communication was music, and they just went back and forth. And I found it really interesting just sitting back and watching the whole thing unfold. Yeah, it was amazing actually. So, and picking out which song would be number one.
For the life of me, I've been in the music business for years and years and years, and for the life of me, I still do not understand that part of it. I mean, you know, what I think sometimes are the top things that are my favorite tracks sometimes aren't the ones that are picked. But these days, as you know, because you're in the business with rock and everything. You have to get the right track out there, and sometimes you don't even have a choice. If you have a record company or someone behind you, they pick the track, right?
Right, yeah.
And you may not, it may not be your favorite, but they're the ones that pick it. Now, I imagine Paul Hardcastle and with Rock, they don't even get the, probably the record company picks what they want, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it's done in the in that level, so.
Well, it's a higher level than most people can get to, because most of the people I work with are independents, and it's extremely hard for a lot of the people here on Maui to do anything but their own label and their own work. And so there's good to it and bad. The good is you can do what you want to do. You don't have to answer to anyone. And the bad is there's no money, and you're paying for everything yourself. And you don't have a promotional team or the distribution or anything like that behind you, you know.
Right.
So it makes it really hard. That's why when we see people like Willie Kay, or we see people, some of the bigger name people who get to a larger place, it's pretty great to see them being able to survive. I mean, I was just at the Nohoku Hanahana, and George is supposed to be coming in any second to talk about it. See, but I'm sure he's on his way. But George, I love you. Where are you? But at the Nohokus, you know, I mean, most everyone there really was doing their own thing. And the sad thing that hardly anyone has talked about, and I don't know why, is Mountain Apple went out of business. Mountain Apple was like the super duper big distributor record company that, you know, had everything and everyone. And they got bought out by Island Heritage. Island Heritage does, you see some of those cards and things at local stores. They do the kind of Hawaiiana cards, and they do a little bit of music. They do books, you know. So with Mountain Apple out, it's like, wow.
That's
right.
Sad.
Yeah. But people aren't buying CDs as much.
No, and that's the biggest problem. Or, you know, the music industry is just changing so much. And with, you know, you can record out of your own home. But it does create, you know, with YouTube and social media, young people now are getting
some opportunities
through that. And, yeah, I've seen quite a number of talented people coming out on social media.
That does make a difference. If you are smart enough to know how to do that and use it, and if you can really get enough hits and build your base, you know.
Right.
You certainly will get noticed, you know, and certainly can make a difference. And the thing is then, there's still that, even if you do get that, there's still that, like, okay, you got to go out on the road, right? Or you got to go play somewhere, and you got to do some of that, really, because I don't know how much it would really take of YouTube playing to make enough money, right, to really do it. And unfortunately, I'm from old school. If you looked around the room, you'd see albums that we used to play here and CDs. But I'm from old school where you do a thematic album. It has a reason behind it, you know, and you do all the tracks, a minimum of like 12, you know. And then, of course, EPs these days, more and more people are doing EPs. But the thing is, more and more people are even just doing one track.
And selling that.
And that's it, the one track. And they put so much effort behind just this one track. And then they do the YouTube, and they spend a fortune, sometimes more money on the video than they do the actual song, right, and writing it. And I don't get an idea that with one track promoted that way, if it's good enough to get the whole thing throughout, right? If it's the quality you'd get, the concept, the energy you'd get with a whole CD is, you know, are you able to do that for 12 tracks, right? Are you able to have a good enough thematic idea with quality writing and quality production for 12 tracks, you know? It's changed. It's changed so much. It's kind of... And I've tried to follow it through all the changes for all the years I've been in it. Shelly, believe me.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, you know, we really are. And with this original, and the Sing It Maui, you know, you were saying, okay, do a YouTube originally, do a YouTube performance, right?
I did do that and didn't get any videos.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
But, I was too.
Then, you know, people looked at it and said, well, maybe it's too complicated for young people to do that, so that's why we changed our registration. I don't know. I thought a lot of people are doing videos, but
you're new and starting out, and if you're not really comfortable with that, you may be judging yourself really harshly, and you may not think it's good enough, you know, because what happens is you see all these professional videos or ones that are done by people that are pretty good, and you see them on YouTube. And if you were to do something yourself and it didn't look like that, you might think it really isn't good enough, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's in, and you have to have someone who knows a little bit about doing the video and it'd be the right time length and everything, too. So you couldn't have really made it any easier than it is right now. So Sing It Right Now is happening. Where all you have to do, this is so easy, all you have to do is email Shelly at singitmaui@gmail.com. What do you want in the email?
Just their contact information, the age of the child who's going to sing, and a little story about why they love to sing. So it's really easy. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that couldn't be, you couldn't have made it easier.
No.
I mean, really, you know, because it's like, well, gosh, guys, you know, $1,000? Come on, what do you got to lose, really?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, $1,000, first prize, second prize, $500, that's extremely generous. Third prize, $300, so you're giving away $1,800 in prizes. But I think it's really also super, super duper cool. That you can do the recording session, because that's where you really, I mean, you and I know, Shelly, because you've seen this happen. Someone with a kind of just maybe okay voice, once they get in the studio.
You can do a lot with it. Yeah.
I mean, once they get in the studio, I mean, it's like magic happens, right?
Yeah.
You can
maybe
have not a perfect, these days you can get in the studio and make your voice sound 100 times better.
It's just would be an awesome learning experience for a young person to see what goes on in the studio and how something's recorded, and just have them go through it and hear their final song in the end and have that.
Well, that's the learning process, and the value of the learning process on that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Because number one, when you're going to go in the studio, I have to tell you, you get prepared. You know, you do your homework. It's like kind of like thinking of like you're going to have an art show or something like that, right?
Right.
So if you're going to have an art show, you go ahead and you prepare, right?
Right.
So, you know, this is the same thing. You know, if you're going to go in the studio, believe me, you're going to put some time
practicing. Yeah.
And then once you get in the studio, then you can see how it sounds. One thing is, a lot of times people don't know how their voice really sounds.
Right. Yeah, that's really true.
Until they get in there, right? I mean, it's once you get in the studio. Okay, that was the wrong one. I was texting as I was. I shouldn't be texting while I'm talking. But I was texting while I was talking to George, going, George, where are you? And it's like, okay, George. George is somewhere out there. Driving, and that's one of the things. We love George. I mean, he was at the Nahokus, and he did two releases. Now, one thing people tell you, in a year you shouldn't put in two releases because then you're competing against yourself. You put in one release, you put all your energy behind it, and that's what, mm-hmm. you know, you do.
Yeah.
But he did a Christmas CD, and then he did a slack key
mm-hmm.
CD. And the slack key CD, he put a ton of work and time into, but he was up against someone we all know and love, Cyril Pahinui. But Cyril Pahinui's been very ill, and we love Cyril Pahinui. And so Cyril Pahinui, of course, was a favorite because everyone's concerned about his health, right? So George got the Nahoko Award for his Christmas CD, a Slack Key Christmas. So
yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Have you heard it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Great. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I haven't heard it.
Yeah, that's good.
No, and I love George. I mean, George is on my practicing Aloha CD, too. The guy's about as nice as he can get, but truthfully, he does get extremely overbooked. I'm going to actually call him here just because that's George. I love George, but George, come on. You're supposed to be here, and I'm going to call him and see George. Let's see, where is he here? George. Okay, here we go. We're going to see how this works. I'll put him on speakerphone. Let's see if we can. No, I mean, because this is George. Is George? I mean, everyone laughed when I said George is coming in today, and they said, "Yeah, really?
Where's George?"
No, I was just like, "Let's find out where George is, everyone." I don't know. He lives way out there. You know, have you ever seen this place out there?
No, but I've seen.
He's got a ranch,
the farm. Yeah.
Yes. On the DVD.
I see it on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's not answering his phone either. Are you there, George? Yes, you're George. Call me. I'm on the air with you with my cell phone right now.
Okay.
Call me on the real line 242-7800.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. You're gonna love him, right? That's George. I better turn this. I love George. I just like George. Where are you? He's gonna call in here now. Oh gosh, he's always got a million things going on though. And I, you know, there he is. There you are, George. Where are you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. We had a farm visit early this morning.
You had a what?
Farm visit. We had about a dozen people up on the farm.
Oh.
But we usually have a farm. I have some students that are mentor on Tuesdays.
Oh, well, I know how you do that. You got a lot of students you mentor, and they've got to come help on the farm where they don't get mentored.
That's all.
I need to come help them up.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got Shelley Hendricks in the studio. She loves you, too. Shelley.
Yeah, tell Shelley I booked that date, so I apologize.
That's okay. Yeah. We'll get to next year.
That
would be great. Yeah.
Both Shelley and I are the only people who haven't been out to your ranch and seen your farm out there.
It was a nice, cool morning, but now it's raining in the afternoon up here. I don't know what it looks like down there, but yeah.
So congratulations, another Nohoku. How many Nohokus now, George?
I've been associated with about four different ones so far.
Uh-huh.
The first one was with Auntie Edith Kanakaone's Hi'i Poika Aina Aloha in 1977, no, 78, we won that award.
Wow. Well, that's a good one.
Then 2000, it was Best Hawaiian Album of the Year. And then the next one I won for Hymns of Hawaii for Religious Album of the Year, 1999. And 2004 was the next one for Hymns of Hawaii, Volume 2.
Well, we should do a Volume 3 of with mine and your music for this next year.
Okay.
I was nominated, of course, in the religious category, and I didn't expect to get it because, you know, it's really hard. It's a pretty elite club, you know, of people who, musicians that have a long background and a lot of history.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. You know, I put out two albums this year, The Priest of the Land and While We Slacky Christmas was the dark horse. I didn't even think you would have a chance. But I was lucky. I got voted on for the Maui Slacky Christmas.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. And it was interesting because, I mean, I thought Kalani was going to win about, you know, five or six awards, and He got one for contemporary, but, you know, and yet he didn't get as many as some people would have thought, you know.
Yeah, like Kehoe. I think Kehoe had a, you know, Kehoe is a student of Robert Cazavero.
I didn't know that. That's what, okay.
And then that's the halal. I mean, their halal has 400 students. So I'm pretty sure the whole halal registered. It's like, you see what I mean? It's like
yes, a, yes,
it's
I didn't know
that's
that.
That's how Kelly Rachel registered. He registered like 200-300 students, yeah?
Ah, I didn't know you could do
halal,
that.
Yeah, that drives the voting.
Oh, I had no idea you could do that. I mean, like you're a member of the Grammys. I am too. The National Academy of Recording Arts has.
Right.
You have to prove you have so many CDs out, and you know it's not easy to get registered and become a voting member at the National Academy of Recording Arts. But I didn't know that was the case. But yeah, that definitely makes a difference. You have a halal.
Yeah, you have a halal with 200-300 students. You know, they can. They have you know, lots of brother, you know, hula sisters and hula brothers.
So oh yeah.
You get the volume of people who can vote you in. You know, that's a big difference right there.
Well, one of the things I always loved about Hawaii is you go to anything. Even I saw this even back at Hula Ono Keiki. If you go and you see it at the Kamehameha schools and. And when you have their groups that support each other, there is such loyalty and excitement that backs that person. I mean, you can hear the screams, you know. You could hear it for Kehau. You know, you hear the screams and the excitement and the yelling, you know, supporting that. And there's a lot of that dedication and loyalty to school, right, and to artists like that.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm a Columbia School graduate, and you know, I went there for 13 years, actually.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How come 13 years?
Well, kindergarten.
Oh, okay. Long time.
Yeah, so I was, you know, from kindergarten to 12th grade. So you know, I don't know the angle. And I think Colin DePierre for the Grammys, too, he was able to capture the gay vote for the gay crowd. That was his angle.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, mm-hmm. you have some sympathy for that crowd, too.
Yeah.
But you never know how it's going to turn out, you know.
Yeah, you don't know, and social media also plays a huge aspect. And I think social media can truly make a huge difference in the way you play the social media and support and know how to support your, and play yourself on Facebook, Instagram, and all the sites and things as well.
Well, I think that has a, you know, for the upcoming artists, you know, Facebook and the social media is really great for them because they don't actually have to have a show or really a place to show up. They just can have an audience, you know, through their social media. Whereas, you know, in the olden days, like for the old school, you would actually have to have played music, you know, someplace, you know, or you'd have to have like a place that you're coming from. You see what I mean?
I do, and it's interesting because we were just talking, Shelley and I, about the Sing It Maui competition, which is for young people to ages 10 to 18. I mean, someone's going to win $1,000 first prize, and someone second prize is $500, and third prize is $300, and then there's a People's Choice Award, which is a recording session. But the idea on this is, you know, to get the people who are young out there to kind of, you know, just get the courage to get out there and perform and do it. Because you know, you've seen it. You've taught school. You know it's a matter of encouraging the kids. You started the Hawaiian Music School right here at the college.
Yeah, the Institute of Hawaiian Music, yeah. And well, it takes, like a lot of the musicians now who are part of the Institute of Hawaiian Music, are musicians who've been out there playing music, you know. They're not only who want to go back and learn the Hawaiian language and become better at their craft, you know. So it's a kind of a challenging thing for the next generation as well. But you know, you would think that you know the Institute of Hawaiian Music would be capturing students right out of high school, like you know, like 17, 18, 19 years old, but a lot of people who are trying out for the instrumental music are, you know, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Yes.
Already. That's because they've had the experience, you know, playing music in the, you know, playing at the hotels and stuff, but they just want to get the accreditation that, you know, and solidify their the link to the Hawaii culture and the language. And so that's the biggest difference, you know.
Well, you kind of have always too much on your plate, George. And I know you kind of turned that over to, is it Keola Donahue?
Yeah, Keola Donahue. And the great thing about Keola Donahue is he's really well connected, too.
Yes, he spoke there at the award ceremony.
Well, the thing is, he was one of the people, the committee, to actually apply to get the Grammy category for the Grammys years ago. You know, this is way back in 2001, 2003, when the first Grammys first started. And then he was also connected with, you know, to the Hokus, the Hoko Hanoano Award. And he was actually a great Hawaiian language specialist at the UH Hilo at the time. And he wanted to come home because his, you know, his father's health was failing here in Maui. So that's why he came back to Maui. But he spent 25 years in Hilo, and he actually developed a lot of Hawaiian language protocol. You know, updated the Hawaiian dictionary. So, he was the go-to person for a lot of people learning about the internet. Keola Bieber, in fact, used Keola Donahue for years. You know, as a connection to get started on the internet, but now you know there's more connections with Facebook and Twitter and that kind of stuff, so you know everybody can kind of do it on their own. But in the beginning, there was nobody really navigating, you know, Native Hawaiians to it. I've been really lucky that I didn't. I've had a lot of my students, you know, that like for instance, the guy who Elliot, who handles my social networking, was a banker at First Hawaiian Bank who wanted to learn how to play slacky guitar and ukulele. So same thing, I mentored him for almost 6 years, And then he went back to school and he got really good at social networking, so that's why he handles all our social media.
Well, you know, let's put an exclamation mark on that, George. He's not just good. Here's a guy that knew and knows how to get. How many likes do you have on Facebook?
A couple million or something.
1.3. I mean, okay, I'm going to repeat that. So people, a couple of million. Now, I know a lot of musicians. I know a lot of people. I don't know anyone that's got a couple of million lives on Facebook.
The thing is, you know, after you you can only have 5,000 friends on us.
Right.
And then after that, they have to be associates or whatever. And it's thanks to Elliot and, you know, and I have a whole team. It's not one person. And then, you know, I learned this methodology or this protocol from Daniel Inouye in the 1973, 74, when I graduated from college. You know, he kind of meant to be in a way. He said, you know, George, he called me Georgie Boy because he knew me way back when I was only like 11 years old. Yeah? He said, Georgie Boy, he said, you know, if you don't have the technology or, you know, if you're not good at something, he says, you know, hang out with people who are good or make them a part of your team. So that's kind of what I did along the years. Like, for instance, we have Patty Link, who's my social, she's my publicist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really good. I mean, if I go to New York City, she gets me written up in the New York Times.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
She gets me to be on the Daily Show or whatever.
Oh,
you get
top coverage. You don't get near that respect here on Maui.
I did pretty good because I was lucky. I got front page of the Maui News.
Well,
I
mean, did you finally see your picture? I called George.
I called
George yesterday, and I said, George, congratulations. Did you see your picture on the front page of the Maui News? He says, no. Can you save it for me? I said, George, you're on the front page of the Maui News. Go pick one up.
No. Okay, yeah, my wife finally did. But what happened is, you know, I've been trying to, you know, I have a workshop coming up with about 150 people from all over the world. This is my 20th annual. It's going to be June 17th to the 27th or something. And so I've been heavy planting over here, you know, like planting, and right now it's Kaloa, so this is like the great time to plant anything that's long, like long string beans, long eggplant, long tomatoes, tall papaya trees and stuff like that. So I've been, you know, really, my mind has really been at mulching the field and gathering the manure, you know, and stuff like that. So my emphasis has been that. And I've been away for so long. From February 5th, I was on the road to April 24th. You know,
Where did you go this time?
I did 40 nights, in 42 days, I did 39 cities and states.
Wow.
All across the U.S. Then I came home for a couple of days, or a couple of weeks. Well, it was only like a week or so. Then I was in Luxembourg, Amsterdam, Paris.
I didn't know that.
Germany. Yeah, I did a whole tour in Sweden.
Did they know about you in Europe, in Luxembourg? Do they know about you over there?
Oh, yeah. The thing is, remember this Hawaiian music all over the world. In fact, at the Nahoku Hanahana Awards, I met up with, what's his name? Anyway, he was with KCCN. I can't think of his first name. But he ended up hooking up with this woman from Paris, and who actually lived in Paris for almost 50 years, but she has a halal there that's been going for 50 years.
Really?
In Paris, Kilohana. So he has a radio station, the Territorial Airways. He's been going for 50 years at KCCN too. So she had a whole collection of songs from her mom. From the 1910s and 20s and stuff like that. So she came to Hawaii to return. She has a halal called out of Manoa, from way back, you know, in 50 years from now or whatever. So when I went to Paris, I had a whole support system over there, you know, and, you know, I did workshops in ukulele, guitar, you know, and we did a couple concerts, and the halal was really... Their hula is really exceptional.
Really?
Yeah.
They must have been thrilled to be able to hook up with you and learn from you and be able to play for you.
Well, the thing is, they also knew Ati Inde Kanakahole, who I did the music for, so they were doing her songs as well.
Wow.
And, you know, that was the first Grammy, like I said, I went one with, another Grammy of Nahuku, with Ati Inde way back in 1977. I think it was when the Grammys, Nahuku's first started. So there's actually a genealogy
wow.
of hula dancers and music throughout the world. And the same thing with Amsterdam. I hooked up with not only a halal, but also a healing center. Those guys, you know, I sent mamaki tea to them. Some Hawaiian herbs.
That you make from your ranch, right?
Yeah. That's one of the things that we grow over here. So they actually said about... a van for about 15 students every year. They've been doing that for the last probably 15 years, 20 years. They come and they, you know, for instance, they come and help Kimokia work on his little things that he's got in Kihei. Then they also go up and help out Le'ohu Rainer with her. Halal project right where close that I live, the Heiau project.
Mm-hmm.
And now they hooked up with me, so they're coming over to visit me in October.
Wow.
And these guys do community projects. They come out from Amsterdam to do that. So
how wonderful. So did they have a little center there that you played at?
Oh yeah, they have a little not only halal, they have a huge healing center in the middle of Amsterdam.
Wow.
That's like, they have massage rooms, they have doctors working on it. It's pretty impressive.
Did you get a massage?
That was the thing, is that there was probably about 150 masseurs working on it in one little thing. And we were so busy, they had me running and even dancing. We started like 8 o'clock in the morning. We didn't finish at 10 o'clock at night because we did workshops all day long in hula, ukulele, guitar, you know, storytelling, you name it. So, and Amsterdam was really a fruit for us in the sense of she had a lot of students who was, I mean, they paid a couple hundred dollars to be with us, like $35
wow.
an hour.
Wow.
Amazing. I mean, I'm talking a couple hundred people. So we actually paid for all of our whole trip and everything just for the stuff we did in Amsterdam.
Did you get a chance to see the tulips?
Yeah. We did, they were all over. And we stayed in, homestayed with some of the locals there. It was really wonderful. And they have these little streams. The thing is really wonderful about Amsterdam is that everybody rides a bike.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the works, we lived in a house maybe 25 miles away. It's like from here to Lahaina.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that we stayed with, he refused to take the public transport, or he rode his bike 25 miles to the workshop every single day that we were there.
Wow.
And he beat us a couple times.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are in shape. And Amsterdam's, you know, kind of like, and you're below water, almost 40, 50 feet. Yeah, did you know that?
Well, some places are. I know they build these dams and they build things up. I just saw a whole special on CBS Sunday Morning, did a whole special about how they're...
Well, they're underwater at least 30 feet.
And wow.
They have a lock system with the bolts and all that. In fact, I wrote a song for them. I wrote a chant for them. In fact, that's when
you wrote a chant for them?
Yeah, chanted a song. Yeah.
How does it go? Tell me. I mean, I'm curious. I never thought of doing a chant for Amsterdam.
Well, the thing is, I have it in my notes. I wrote, in fact, that's my new thing now. When I go, I even wrote a chant for the halal in Paris as well.
Wow.
I wrote a thing. And I don't, you know, the thing is, it's in English as well as in Hawaiian. And I don't know it, you know, by heart, but I got it down. I wrote it on my notes in my on my iPhone.
I do the same thing. I have over 1,200 notes on my iPhone. Every morning when I get, you know, I get up at early, about 3 or 4.
Yeah, and they're all up every morning like you. I get up 3 o'clock every morning.
Right. I know I can always text you or something in the morning. You're one of the few people. But I put it on my notes. I do the same thing. And, you know, there's this other thing called Rhymer's Block. It's an app called Rhymer's Block. And you got to check that out. It's Rhymer's Block. It's a free app.
How do you spell it?
R-H-Y-M-E-R-S Block. But what's cool about it is when you do it on there, it gives you words that rhyme that you never would have thought of. It's R-H...
Oh, Rhymer's, like the writing.
Yeah, R-H-Y-M-E-R-S Block. But the thing that's cool is you can copy from there and put it to your notes. You can put it to your mail. You can put it to WordPress. You can put it to Google Plus, and you can copy it all in one place.
Well, I'm not that good yet. I still
no. But all you have to do is write it on there, and then it just send to all those places. Go to right from that site.
Well, it's really nice to know. Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, I still don't trust because you know, when I was on the road for so long, I wasn't able to download my phone to my computer.
Uh-oh.
So I was blocked.
Oh, no.
I was actually kicked out of me.com. And I had used, you got to realize, too, I was also doing this Kickstarter. We're supposed to raise about $50,000. I think we raised almost $80,000.
$80,000 for what, a video or what?
Yeah, we're doing another film with Dave Barry. And the film's going to be on this is what we're going to do on our Slacky show, How Did It Get Started? It's going to be from the back porches of, you know, Kealia, where our kid was born and raised, to all the way, to the performing arts centers of the world, like to the Great American Hall in San Francisco and to Carnegie Hall in New York City. So there's also a side story to that, the history of Dancing Cat Records, my wife's brother's company, you know?
Yeah, it's of George Winston.
Yeah, so we got a, you know, side kind of a thing. Story with that too. So you know, we were able to raise. You know, we were heading for about $50,000. I think we ended up with about $75,000, almost $80,000.
Well, didn't you do the fund campaign for Jeff Peterson to do his video
too?
Yeah,
we did. That was last year. We did. We finished Jeff's video, and we also did. We've done seven show videos so far, films and we start off with me. Then the next one was Uncle Richard Hopi and Dennis Kamakahi. Luckily, we did Dennis's one, because in the middle of it, he passed away, yeah?
Yeah.
And then we did Martin Pahinoy, and then we did Martin Pahinoy with, what's his name, Brother Nolan. And both of them, you know, Brother Nolan was flatlined 3 times.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, and then I didn't know that when we started to film him, but, you know, in the film he comes out, you know, even though he's in good shape and stuff like that, he had some kind of heart trouble, so people didn't know, yeah.
So well, and Cyril Pahinoy is still struggling.
Yeah, Pahinoy now is actually in hospice right now.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, both of them, Cyril and Martin. So we did the one on Martin, Pahinoy, and he's right now in hospice. He's really in God's hands.
Oh, my. I didn't
realize
that.
And when we started this, he was, you know, he had prostate, and he had his gallbladder and all kinds of stuff, you know.
Well, you know, it's so great you're documenting some of these things, and that because the video is kind of a good, great way to go, you know, these days.
Well, the video is a good thing, you know, just to, the whole idea of the video was to, you know, put on, for the artist's point of view, their story, let them tell the story instead of waiting till they die, you know, to tell the story.
Yeah, no, really, absolutely. Some of that footage is gold, absolute gold.
And part of this Kickstarter this time was to build a website where we can actually have the videos. And we're going to add, you know, we cannot just keep on making all of the videos for everybody, but I'm going to encourage, you know, all the different artists out there to have, do their own Kickstarters and then to do, you know, I can't keep on dipping back into the well. You understand?
No, yeah, you know, the same people give and they can't give every time, that's for sure.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to leave it open for, like, for instance, Eddie Kamai. I've done helped him do 9 films
mm-hmm.
in the 80s and the 90s. So I want to include it there. And then we can break it down into, using the standards for, the education standards that's used in kindergarten to 12th grade. And it's also used in, high school and in the colleges. So we can, let teachers have access to these, to the different things.
And,
like, for instance, the idea of Vahipada, a sense of place, you know, then you can see how Dennis Kamakahi talked about Vahipada. Or you can talk about Jeff Peterson's point of view. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody can, and even like at the Hokus Kiho, the guy, Blaine Asing was talking about Molokai. You see what I mean?
Well, we've talked for a half an hour or so here, and I'm so glad I was able to catch you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so sorry, but I kind of blanked out on. The thing is, usually I look at my phone and everything, and I was working outside. I was taking pictures, and we were actually videoing. We did a clip with Anthony Fluke was up here, and also the Timmons girls. And then I had about a dozen others. People from my show come over today, so we had a lot
well,
of
fun. Tell them to enter Sing It Maui. They have till June 3rd. All they have to do is go to singitmaui@gmail.com. And,
okay.
And they can enter. We need to have some more entries. singitmaui@gmail.com.
Okay. I know. I got that email from...
Shelley. Yeah.
From Shelley. And Shelley, you know what? I'm also in charge of the ukulele contest that's going for...
Yeah.
This will be a 20th year, so... I'm going to shoot that whole email over to, what's his name, Orin.
That would be awesome.
At Hula Grill.
Yeah.
And every year we get almost 100 contestants. Did you know that? For that, the Hula Grill.
That's awesome.
All the way from kindergarten all the way to 8th grade. So
perfect.
What we'll do is we'll shoot it to Hula Grill and he'll shoot it out to all the different students throughout. So that's how... That's how I discovered Anthony Flew, these timid girls.
He's amazing.
Mark, what's the other name of Angel, Max Angel, comes to a show. The ukulele boys, all those guys all came from the ukulele contest. And
wow.
Even the students for the Institute of Hawaiian Music all came from the ukulele contest that we've held on every single island. We've held it on the Big Island, on Kauai, Molokai. Lanai, so yeah, I'll shoot it that out to everybody.
Great,
I know
that's
it's coming
great.
Up pretty soon. Yes,
yes, June 3rd they want it by, yeah.
And
but it's happening June 24th, yeah. Saturday. It's So if you know any judges, too. Listen, we love you, George, and I'm big congratulations.
Yeah, I'm really blessed, you know, to be able to be nominated so many times. And to win, I'm still confused. I still don't understand how I won.
Because you're awesome.
Because you're amazing, George, yeah, and the right. best.
No, because you know, I never expect to win at any of these things, really. I'm
humble. Come on.
Just so, you know.
How many Grammys? Five or four Grammys?
Four Grammys. I've been nominated seven times and bring them four, so I guess it takes a team, like I said. Like, we have the publicist. Then I have my booking agent, Karen Fisher.
Oh, Karen's great.
She's the one who negotiates.
Karen would be a good judge. We should get a hold of Karen for a judge for Sing It.
Okay.
She'd be a great judge. Karen Fisher's awesome.
Yeah, she knows the business really well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely she does.
And then she's connected with all the, you know, she's the one who gets us the top dollar. Even sometimes, you know, people want me to do the weddings and stuff like that for her, you know. In fact, I have weddings up here. And it's Karen who pushes the envelope. And, you know, she gets me, like, these, you know, I'm really blessed. She gets me these $2,000 weddings. It's unbelievable.
No one gets $2,000 weddings. That's pretty amazing.
I know. And then she gets sometimes two of them in a week.
Wow.
So I'm really blessed that way, you know, from Garrett.
Well, you're a blessing, and we love you. Thanks so much for being there and sharing your mana'o with us.
And thank you for calling me. I'm sorry I kind of blanked out. And so, you know why? Because I have another group coming up at around 4 o'clock. My wife says, send them all home. She's kind of tired of all the,
Say hi to Nancy for me.
Well, she loves you guys.
Yeah, I love you too. You stay in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Aloha.